Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the weeks, the months, the days that have passed this year. Hitherto, you have helped us, your grace has brought us. We thank you for your protection, your provisions, your healings, your guidance, leadership, your blessings, both spiritually and physically. We are grateful to you. Thank you, Lord, for our gathering here on Sunday and the blessings we receive from you. We are here again this day, Lord, for this, Lord, what is called Christmas Day, which by your grace we know the truth of it. But Lord, being an holiday, Lord, we have come to worship you, as your prophet said, is the best way to celebrate it. We pray, dear Father, that your blessings will be our portion today. And Lord, wherever your children will assemble together, whether in this city or other towns, cities, villages in this country and other nations of the world, may your presence be with your people. We pray, Lord, that you will be with your servant, give them unction, inspiration, anointing to speak as your oracle. Lord, we commit. Lord, those who have traveled into your hand, that you watch over them, you be with them, you will bless them, Lord, that they will come back whenever they are true, to return back with the abundance of your blessings and testimonies. Let it be, dear Father. Thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses that have been sung to praise your name. May our worship be accepted in your sight, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Lord, when the hour for re-echoing your word will come, we pray you'll be with your servant that will take the service. Strengthen him and give him auction, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Your servant in Owode, may you be with him, dear Lord. Make him a great blessing to your people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome my brethren from Bakataria Church. God bless you. Only one person stood. Yeah, that's Brother Tokosi. Is it only the two people? Brothers and sisters from Bakataria, please stand. God bless you. We appreciate your presence. The Lord bless you richly. We also have with us Brother Israel Bakari and your wife. God bless you. God bless you. You are welcome once again. God bless you. And of course, we have here with us on the platform our very reverend Omoni Yalekule and the family. The family, I should, can you please stand? Where is the family? The children. Okay. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. You're welcome. It's good to have you after some time. I think though our sister was here, I think this year. Was it this year you came or last year? Last year, okay. But the Reverend is about 2 years now. He said just 2 years, that's the way we put it. Yeah, evangelist from Evangelist Babola from the Mission Faith sent greetings to the brethren and the sister Simeon also sent a message and said to greet the church. Brother Caleb Abi also sent greetings. He traveled with his family to London. Brother Jeremiah and the family also traveled to Ekiti and sent greetings. Likewise, Brother Adegun also traveled, but I think not with the family. He traveled alone. Okay. After this, has your wife traveled? Yes, she has traveled. Okay, Sister Muyiwa also traveled, I think, with the children. The Gias, they also traveled to Patigi, Then Brother Joseph Oyedepo and the family also went to Jebu Ode, and also Brother Ben Love and the family also went to the east. They got to Enugu this morning. They traveled yesterday morning, but it was quite enjoying the very boost up along the way, and they finally got there this morning. We thank God for joining my sis. God bless you. Yeah. Brian, you are welcome again. As you try to bend your head, see the head. This the Mavidons, you guys see they are complete today. God bless you, Sister Rachel. Yes, quite some time for Rivers now. God bless you. And Sister Becky is also there. I don't think we have seen you for some time. You are welcome. God bless you. I think the boy, you have been around for some time. Or you travel again. I'm not sure I saw you on Sunday and the future. So the body house is full now. You are welcome. God bless you. Who is it? Joshua. Oh. So, I don't know. Nine women in the big. That's good. God bless you. Today being that it's a Christmas holiday day, and instead of having the prayer meeting in the afternoon, where we should have small, small exhortation and the rest of it, that's why we announced that we should come this morning and have a full dose before we descend on the rice and the chickens. So I think it will be a good time for refreshment. God bless you all. Yeah, we will be having our Reverend Doctor to take the service. Joshua Ade will be taking the service. The Lord bless you all. After the service, we have some water baptism. What's in our story? Shall we rise? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Understanding that you gave us a Savior is the most important thing. And this is what we are here this morning to appreciate you for. That you gave us a Savior, not the one that is born on the 25th, Lord, for the King of Heaven that came down to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. We are grateful that we are beneficiaries of this great redemptive work of yours. And we are here this morning to worship you. Master, may you be gracious to every one of us. Lord, give us a special gift. Lord, your prophet preached somebody said, God's wrapped gift. And that is the greatest gift you can give. But as many as haven't accepted this gift, Lord, may you give them grace this morning. That they will be partaker of this great gift that you are giving the world. Thank you, everlasting Father. Let the full purpose of the manifestation of Christ be the portion of every one of us. And your name will be praised, Heavenly Father. As we surrender ourselves, we ask you to help us this hour. Take all the glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Let's sing from 90. Blessed be the name. Let's open my Bible because of our time, you know, to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I read from verse 8. And then we'll read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Though we'll read from 18 to 21. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 8. Sorry. From verse 8. He that sinned is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's open to Matthew chapter 1, from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. Please be seated. Well, we trust the Lord to give us a blessing this morning as we go through this little part. Just a little title to this little thought, that we trust the Lord will give us a fellowship, that it will meet the needs of everyone, is the purpose of the first coming of Christ. The purpose of the first coming of Christ. Praise be to God. Now, first, before we move to that, I want to talk a little bit on Christmas. Maybe just a quote because of our time. So, I want to read from Why Little Bethlehem. Today is Christmas, not the day that Jesus was born. Yeah. Today is Christmas. But today is not the bad day of Jesus Christ. How many of us know that? God bless you. Are you there? Well, the one preaching 1963. Sorry, I know there are two series. 1963, December 14, paragraph 14. The prophet says, you know, at Christmas, I think we all, too many of us, I wouldn't say all, but too many of us lose the real value of what Christmas is. As I noted, notice out here, even the palm trees are decorated, and in the east, it is always the fir tree or the evergreen. And months or weeks, rather, maybe a month or 6 weeks before Christmas ever begins, is always the tinsel. They made it a commercial instead of what it really means. I don't believe that Jesus Christ was born on the 25th day of December. I do not believe that at all. It would be impossible for the things to happen. In other words, for Jesus to be born on the 25th of December. So the prophet is presenting to us
in the entire message, he presents to us two arguments, which are correct. We find that from history, you know, and the geographical situation of Judah as at this time. See, I do not believe that at all. It would be impossible for the things I feel this is necessary to be re-echoed to our children. Seeing this opportunity, you know, we don't talk about this a lot of time. You know, and it's possible for a horse to lose a grip of this. And this among our young ones coming up. So I feel in talking about this sermon, let's talk about a little bit about Christmas. And which is today. You know, today is 25th. And if you remember too, that our convention initially was tailored towards December. And purposely because we don't celebrate Christmas. And that during that time, we are cut off from all the whatever that will be going on around Christmas. We are always can't. And it was a serene environment for us then. And we are used to it. We don't, you know, where we no longer do, excuse me, where we no longer do that, you know, we feel it. We adults feel it, you know. And so, I feel that our children need to be reminded of this. The adults know it. But our children need to be reminded. So that they will know part of the value of the message. Yo, the problem is I do not believe that at all. It would be impossible for the things to happen. That is, for Jesus to have been born on the 25th of December. The hills of Judea are snowier than why snow is waist deep in there in the month of December. Up in Judea. But we realize in studying history, okay, Christ was probably born in the spring. Along maybe April or May. The prophets emphasize April. Somewhere like that. But when it was changed, this, they brought it when Christianity was converted into Romanism. That's deep. Because there are a whole lot of things that we can say about when Christianity was converted into Romanism. That was when pagan Rome was converted to Papa Rome. Rome was a pagan, is a pagan nation. The gospel getting there, we know the history. How the gospel got there. Now, if we go into that, we'll not be able to touch because that's also very, very deep, right? But just to. So, the pagan nation took over Christianity, the church that was established in Rome. The people that were dispersed from Jerusalem ran, you know, all over the nations to go and establish preaching the gospel. And the gospel was established in Rome. But later, the members that came in, they were nominal. They were not born again. And at a point in time, when there was persecution, the believers ran away. And the rest of you, so the indigenous stayed and then took over the church. And then introduced Roman systems into that. So when the believer came, they didn't allow them to take over the church. They didn't allow them to, they didn't allow the word of God. That is the beginning of Roman Catholic. That's how it started. The celebrities, the scholars, the educated, the rich, the influential, the politicians took over that place. And because they were pagans, they brought in idols, images, and the rest of it. And they began to, you know, blend them with Christianity. And then instead of using Christian name, the neighbors of the Hadot began to adopt the name of Christian. Saint Cecilia, Saint Stephen, Saint Augustus, Saint this and Saint that. So they turned it entirely into pagan worship, bearing Christian name. That's what the prophet is telling us in summary here. So, when Christianity was converted into Romanism, that's what the prophet was saying there. They made the sun gods by the there in Rome, they were doing a worship unto the sun. Sun is one of their gods that they worship. And they worship that sun god on the 25th of December. And that has a geographical tonation to it, the way the prophet explained it. When, during the solstice, you know, around this period, that's when that happens. As many as read geographical schools, you will understand what I'm saying. So, they had this worship of the sun, which was on the 25th. And now, to make it accepted worldwide, because Rome now dominates the religion, so they decided to change it from the sun god, S-U-N. You can say maybe S-U-N dash gods. Oh, is a god that they worship. So they worship that god on the 25th. So they decided to change this sun god to the name S-U-N to S-O-N. They made it the day of the bad day of the Son of God, no longer Son. It's history, as the prophet has told us here. Somewhere like that, maybe it may be changed. This they brought in when Christianity was converted into Romanism. They made the Son God's birthday, which was at the solar at the 25th, from the 21st to the 25th. That's how it starts, you know, in geography. 25th of December is from 21st to 25th. And that has to do with the impact of the sun on that region. So on the 25th exactly is when that strikes them. And that's when they choose 25th for that. See? Which was at the solar at the 25th? From the 21st to the 25th of December. The sun setting right almost hardly changes at all on that 25th in their place. And then that was the sun god's birthday. So they changed it to the Son of God. But remember, whatever what day it might be, we still don't take away the sacredness of what it's supposed to be. When we say the body of the birth of Jesus Christ, that's what the prophet is saying. Not talking about 25th, not talking about Christmas, but the significance of the birth of Christ. Okay? So the sacredness of what is supposed to be, where Satan has robbed us of this, has made a great commercial, and Santa Claus stole all of the worship. And it becomes a day like Christmas. Like bunny rabbits and pig dogs. And then what is that got to do with Easter? What is that got to do with the resurrection of Christ? You know, just like in Easter too. And there's a little thing the prophet said about that here too. It is just like the world today. The kids on the street can tell you more about David Crocker than they could about Jesus Christ. They can tell you more about some outlaw, some criminal of days gone by than they can the Prince of Life. That was born 1900 years ago. But that doesn't take the real thing away from we Christians. So that's why we have to come to the day of worship. The prophet said we should make it a day of worship. You see, always light shines is best in the darkness. The forked lightning in the black cloudy skies at night shows there can be light in darkness. And when the light is shining, you don't see. If the sun is shining, you don't need the light too much. Like now. It's just because inside here is enclosed. The ray of the sun has an impact. If we put up the light, can we have it? Can our deacons demonstrate that and switch the lights off? We can just see ourselves. What about this? Okay. All right. We can still see ourselves. What impact the sun? That's what the prophet is saying. You don't need this light much when it is shining, when the sun is out there, because it gives reflection. And when the light is shining, you see, if the sun is shining, you don't need the light too much. And we have demonstrated that now. But darker, the smaller the light, greater it will shine in darker. When there is darkness, no matter how small the light is, it will have impact. That's why the Bible says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. See, it will shine in the darkness. See, we Christians ought to be testifying to the glory of God, giving His Son to us. This Christmas ought to be an outstanding thing. We Christians, no matter how much it looks, it makes it shine that much better. The whole world's got tinsel. We've got Christ. And that is what we ought to be letting shine in this dark hour that we are now living. Alright, let's look at this again. It's part of it. The exposition of the seven churches. The Pergamian church. You can search for. Now notice that constant time. You can search that. Now notice that contest time gave special purpose to the people. They were the old pagan feast with new names taken from the church. That's the furtherance of what the prophet said. Or in some cases, Christian rites were taken and abused with pagan ceremonies. He took the worship of the sun god and changed it to the Son of God instead of celebrating on December 21st, not Christmas, but their own sun god. Instead of celebrating on December 21st, which is when they used to celebrate the feast to the sun god, they put it up to December 25th and called it the Son of God's birthday. But we know that he was born in April, when life comes forth, not in December. And they took the feast to Astate and called it the Easter celebration, where the Christian is supposed to celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord. Actually, it was a pagan feast to Astate. Praise be to God. Yeah. And that's to let our children know we don't celebrate Christmas. Maybe you are just standing on the neck of your parents, Christmas this, Christmas that. Of course. That does not stop them from buying clothes for you. Doesn't stop them from buying shoes for you, cooking good food for you to eat. But that's not celebrating Christmas. The Santa Claus they introduced to you in the school and the rest of it is a gimmick. It's a money-making gimmick. There is no man. A single man that will travel from Rome carrying all the gifts that he want to give to everybody in the world is a fiction. It's a lie. And the prophet told us that you better tell your children the truth, because if you don't tell them the truth, he said when they come to find out that Santa Claus is false, that there's nobody like Santa Claus, he said they might query you about Jesus too and say that maybe Jesus Christ is also fake. So it's better you balance it for your children. Let them know that this Christmas celebration is not Christian celebration. We don't celebrate. Jesus Christ was not born on the 25th of December. Then another point that the prophet put forward, that on the hill of Judea, the place will be so snowy by this time. And then you remember in Luke chapter 1, when Jesus Christ was born in the manger, the angel went to the shepherds of the field. Could it have been 25th? Well, geographically we know that the hill of Judea, where the shepherds stood with their animals or sleeping with their animals all over spread, will it be as snowy as it is? And they will be there? Those are points that the prophet raised, that by this time in Judea, snowy. And then when Jesus born on that day, and the shepherds were there with their sheep in a snow area? No. And the prophet also puts to us that Jesus Christ was born in April, because that is spring time. When life comes up fresh on the face of the earth, he's the author of life. Then he also told us that he's the Lamb of God. The lambs are also born in April. Around that. So the prophet presents all these things to us to have an idea of the, because God says God and nature, God runs in continuity with nature. His program runs in continuity with nature. So when we study that, what the prophet said before he became a Christian, he said he already knew God because he studies nature. Because he begins to read the Bible, he said he has seen God in nature already before coming to read the Bible. Praise be to our God. God bless you. Just felt that it's necessary for us to talk about that. And so, further, we want to continue on this. We'll be laying emphasis on some words in the text that we read to give us a purpose for this sermon. Where are you? Place it, okay? All right. Here, the purpose of the coming of Christ. And the prophet told us that there are three comings of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the purpose of the coming of Christ. What is first coming? The prophet told us that Christ comes in three. He comes in three sons' name. He comes three times. There are three comings of Christ from the spoken word of the original sin. Paragraph 433. You just follow me outside. Move on. There are three comings of Christ. He came once, the first time, to redeem his bride. That is the purpose of his first coming. And that's what we are looking at. And by the time we talk about this first coming, and that is what he said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The purpose of his first coming is to destroy Satan's works. And we'll be going into how it's applicable to our lives. How that purpose, the first coming, the purpose of his first coming, whether it's been accomplished in our lives or not. So he comes in three, he comes three times. In the first coming, he comes to redeem his bride. And that's why we sang there, all praise to him who reigns above. You know? So he comes the next, that's the second time, in the rapture, to catch away his bride, who in whose life he has destroyed the works of the devil. And it comes the third time for the millennium. It comes with a bride to the millennium. Praise be to God. And here in the course of this, we'll be talking about that later too. The prophet said he came in three sons' name also. He came as a son of man, a prophet. And we are in, that was his first coming. Continue. His first coming. Then the Son of God, which is the Holy Spirit in the Holy Ghost dispensation, which is where we are. And then he comes as the Son of David. Praise be to God. And that is in the millennium. But the prophet told us that in between the Son of God, which is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and the Son of David, he also promised that he's going to come as a Son of Man. As a Son of Man. Are you with me? Don't allow distraction. There are three comings of Christ. I'm not a preacher. There are three comings of Christ. So I have to get your attention. There are three comings of Christ. He comes the first time as the Son of Man. The prophet, the prophet. God prophet. The God of all the prophets. As the priest. So he came as the prophet, the word manifested, the promises manifested to do the work of redemption. Then he comes also in the Son, in the name of the Son of David. I mean, son of God, which is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he is now. Now, listen. Now, between the dispensation and then the third name, which is the Son of David, which is in the millennium, in between the two, the prophet said he promised us to come in the ministry of the Son of Man. His first coming, the Son of Man, the second coming, the Son, become Son of God, as a prophet, Holy Ghost. After his resurrection, after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and then the descension of the Holy Spirit, Son of God. Then the third is comes as Son of David. Become as Son of David, which is going to be in the millennium. And the prophet said that in between these two and these three, he promised to come as Son of Man through Luke 17:30. Are you following that? The reason is because he came for the first time to destroy the works of the devil. Now, he's coming here for this. The Luke 17:30 as the Son of Man is to reflect, is to show the sign of the Messiah. Amen. The sign of the Messiah. The prophet said the Jews knew it. The Samaritan partly did it. Look at the woman of Samaria. That he showed, he did that, the Jews saw that. He said, but the Gentile did not. And now for the Gentile, for his works also to be destroyed, which he did in the rest of the ages gone, he still has to, he promised that he is coming as Son of Man, you know, in between the Son of God and Son of David. Are you confused? Do you understand? If you need a little clarification, raise your hand. In little clarification. All right. Jesus Christ comes three times. The three sons' name: Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. As I've written on the board, this we have preached before, but we need constant reminder of this. Son of Man. Jesus Christ came as a prophet. The Son of Man cometh to serve, not to be served. That's what he said. Is that not? Yeah, he came as a prophet to shed, to lay down his life. Okay? It is what he did here as the Son of Man in flesh. That's why it's called prophet. Here. He came in flesh, which we are going to talk further on by the time we are done with this. He came in flesh and he died. He buried and resurrected. He ascended to heaven with a promise that they should start in Jerusalem, that he will send the promise of his Father upon them. And that promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost, which came on the day of Pentecost. From that moment, Holy Ghost dispensation began, and then he is the Son of God. Are you following me? He is the Son of Jesus Christ. That's the name he bears in the dispensations of the Gentile, the Son of God. And that was why when one of the Gentiles, in the course of his earthly journey, referred to him as Son of David, the prophet said, he didn't answer. Is that because he was not Son of David to the woman? He was a Lord to her. The woman's dispensation is the dispensation of the Son of Man as a Gentile. But by faith, she got what she get, what she should have gotten farther away. By faith, faith brought to her what she should have gotten at a distant time. So, he died and shed his blood. And then buried, resurrected, ascended to heaven. 10 days after his ascension, he sent down the Holy Spirit. Then he became the Son of God in that Gentile, in that dispensation of the Holy Ghost. That's what the prophet said, Holy Ghost dispensation. And now, the Holy Ghost dispensation is still on. But before the end, Before the end of this Son of God dispensation and the ushering of the Son of David, he promised again in Luke 17:30 to still come in the ministry of the Son of Man. Are you here? And that is when he came to fulfill Luke 17:30. When the prophet said that Jesus is the same yesterday, in his ministry reincarnated. The ministry of Jesus when he was a prophet here is the same ministry that reincarnated here in the ministry of Malachi 4. Are you here? He's still the same God. So what it was here, the prophet of Galilee, with the power of discernment, with the Messiah, with sign of the Messiah that he was showing. The prophet will constantly refer to the woman at the well. He will constantly refer to other instances. So here he was a prophet. There he discerned the thoughts in the heart of the people, told them things that happened to them. The same thing he did in this generation, in our time. And the prophet said he promised to do that according to Luke 17:30. Look, this is very, very deep. Because if we pick it here, before this can, that is why the promise of Malachi 4, and he said, "Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet." Now the prophet said, the prophet ministry is needed for him to come as the Son of Man again. Because the ministry of the Son of Man is a prophetic office. It cannot be carried out by me in fivefold. It can't be carried out by any member of the fivefold. It's not any member of the fivefold. Minor prophet cannot carry it. It's a dispensational messenger. And he must of necessity be a prophet. Because it is the ministry of the prophet to see vision. Okay? But being a dispensational messenger is taking higher than the fivefold because he has the authority to interpret the scripture written for his time. Are you getting that? Well, you can't get it in one day. Are you with me? You have to pray along with this. Oh God, give me more revelation. Do you understand? So we can't spend the whole day explaining this. So we are saying that there are three sons' names: the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David. God has time for their manifestations. So the Son of Man, he came according to Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth the Son, shall call his name Emmanuel. According to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, a child is born, the Son is given. Okay? So he came like that to fulfill the scripture. He's a prophet. Okay? According to the scripture. So he came fulfilling all that was written for of him. And after that, he laid down his life. I'm repeating that. And was buried, resurrected under 72 hours. He resurrected under 72 hours and spent 40 days with the disciples on her. After that, he ascended to heaven. Then 10 days after, to make Pentecost after his resurrection. From his resurrection to the time he sent the Holy Ghost, 50 days, which is Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, then this began. The dispensation of the Son of God began. The Holy Ghost dispensation. That is when it's the Holy Ghost now. That is told to say, I cannot be here all the time, but I will send the Spirit of my Father upon you. And that Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And that is the Spirit still. So when that Spirit came, and that is the Spirit that has been operating in the seven church ages. And now, before the seven church ages we held, okay, in Laodicea, before it we held and blend to Son of Man, Son of David, before rapture will take place, before the great tribulation, are you getting me now? After rapture we know the next is great tribulation, but before rapture, in order to prepare people that will go in the rapture, because all the saints, they are waiting for the perfection of us. So in order for us to be perfected, he made the promise of Luke 17:30 that so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is what? Is revealed. Jesus Christ again, as he was the Son of Man in the beginning of his coming, is still his first coming that we are talking. But it just spread out. This we are talking is his first coming to the Son of God. To the Son of God. And then coming back to him repeating himself just before rapture takes place. To have the people to prepare for rapture. Here is still his first coming. It is the rapture that will mean his second coming. Okay? So before his second coming will take place, this is what we witness. So he came back again just before the seventh church is ended as the Son of Man again, wearing the body of William Abraham. Wearing the body of William Abraham to do those things. Because that is the vessel he has chosen. See, this we came to understand because it is the prophet. It is the prophet. The very man that God chose to, and he revealed it to him, like he revealed to Moses what he told Abraham when he met him at the back side of the desert. And told Moses and said, come, let me send you to Pharaoh for the deliverance of my people. Because I remember my promise to Abraham. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I remember my promise. So, and I've come down to do what? To deliver them. Come, let me send you. God told him his purpose. The prophet said, the voice that followed the sign that Moses saw. Moses saw a sign. What was that sign? The pillar of fire. The fire burning, and his bush was not consumed. That attracted Moses. There he had a voice. And the prophet said, every sign must have a scriptural voice following it. It is from God. So the voice that followed the sign that Moses saw was a scriptural voice. How scriptural was it? I remember my promise to Abraham that your children will sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, and after that, I will come with a mighty hand to bring them out of that place. That's the promise. That's the scripture. That's the voice that followed the pillar of fire that Moses saw burning in the bush, and the bush was not consumed. That was the voice that followed that sign that he saw. Are you with us? So that sign is the pillar of fire. So as God dealt with Moses, and Moses was able to understand the program of God and said, go to Pharaoh and go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Everyone that God has ordained to carry out an assignment in their lives, they recognize their position. How do I know I'm a teacher? How does pastor know he's a pastor? How does he know he's an apostle? How does he know he's an apostle? Am I correct? How does he know he's a ministry? How does he know he's an evangelist? How do they know? It is God working in the individual, recognizing the gift of God in their lives. And if a man claims that I am this, and it comes to display, and you see, and you don't see it, you have a right to query it. But in the ministry of William Abraham, we have seen all that he claims. Let me put that one. And we have seen God vindicate it. Praise be to God. So our God vindicated because he sent him. So he gave him the scriptures that were written for his time. I always say, what about John the Baptist that we had never went to school? How did he know Isaiah chapter 40? How did he know that? He never went to school. Oh, you could say that his father could have taught him. But to know the specific scripture that pertained to him. When they came to him and said, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Are you this? Are you that? He told them, I am not. And none of those things you are talking about. Then who are you so that we can have a report to give to the people that sent us? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. How did you know it? Who told him? Did you go to school to learn it? The God that put that promise there. That said, I behold, that send my messenger before your face to prepare the way for you. Is the one that met him in the wilderness. He said, he that sent me to baptize told me that on whom I will see the Spirit descend like a dove, is he that will take away the sins of the world. You know? God is obligated to choose his people. And whether you like it, believe it. If you don't like it, don't believe it. Those who believe it will get the reward of it. And those who don't believe it will get the reward of it. So we are only trying to remind ourselves of the precious things that we believe. Hallelujah. And so, we are witnesses of the Son of Man ministry reincarnated. Because it is that ministry that brought the message to us to prepare our people for his coming. According to Malachi chapter 4, if you go and read that. Praise to God. Now Jesus came in three names, Son of Man, which is a prophet, Son of God, which went through the church ages, then Son of David. But in between the Son of God and Son of David, according to his own word, and according to Malachi 4 and many scriptures, is to return back into the church in physical form, in the people, in the human beings, in the way of being a prophet. Hallelujah. We'll just explain that. God bless you. Now, with the little time that we have, the purpose of the coming of Christ. I read again from verse 6. 1 John chapter 3. Little children, let no man deceive you. No, just from verse 6, fully. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. It's just the same verse 8. It's the same verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3. It's just the B part that we emphasize the whole of that verse 8. Little children, oh, sorry, not the whole of that verse 8. From verse 7, sorry. Sorry. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning for this purpose. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. We want to emphasize the 4 or 5 things here within the remaining time. For the devil sinned from the beginning. We will look at for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the future and the works of the devil. The prophet told us in many scriptures that sin is unbelief. Sin is unbelief. In the sermon proving his word, preached in 1965, April 26, paragraph 96, the prophet told us that sin is unbelief. And if God says anything and we don't believe his word, then we disbelieve him. If we disbelieve God, then we are unbeliever. It was that living word. He proved it was that living word. He said to those teachers of the day, who can condemn me of sin? And the prophet said, sin is unbelief. Who can tell me that I am an unbeliever? Every word that is written of me has been fulfilled. The last 7 predictions of his life were fulfilled in the last 7 hours on the cross. Everything was written of him was fulfilled because it was the word. He proved he was. He healed the sick, raised the dead, he conquered the dead, hell, and the grave. He proved he was the word that was written of him. And so, he that committed sin is of the devil because the devil sinned from the beginning. The devil is the author of sin. He caused He introduced sin to the world. And it is the sin. The very purpose why Christ came is to destroy sin and its origin. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Not one single work. Now, the prophet told us that when before there was sin, there was no sickness. There was no death. Sickness and all woes that human beings are subject to today came as a result of introduction of sin, which was committed by the devil. And no wonder Jesus Christ told us that the devil is a liar. In John chapter 8, let us read that. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the devil. John 8, from 44. He says from verse 43, he says, why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You see? And you know, this first John chapter 3 says that the devil sinned from the beginning. And Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Every attempt of the devil to enter into people's life is to kill them. Either physically, by way of sickness, or religiously, in a spiritual sense. Those are the attempts of the devil to kill by sickness or to kill by sin. So, he brought sin into the world. That's what Jesus Christ was saying here. Your father, he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who did the devil kill? Who did the devil kill? Abel. You say it was Cain that killed him. It was the devil. Okay? It had the nature of Satan. So that's why the prophet said that Cain demonstrated the character of his father. He demonstrated the character of his father, killing. The prophet said that was not God's character. Because God never did that. He said it was his father that he took that power. He learned it from his father. Because that is the will of God. That's why Jesus Christ said the father, that the devil is a murderer from the beginning. Jesus created him. Jesus Christ created the devil. Yes. So he knows all about him. And also, he created him for a purpose. To give himself a reason for existence. He makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. For his own glory. He said, I raise up Pharaoh. To do what? To display my glory. To show my power. And that's what Romans chapter 8 tells us. Who are you, O man, to argue with God? Is that who he hardens? He wishes to harden, he hardens. Is that we have mercy on you and we have mercy? Is it? It's of your father, the devil, the work of God you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and about nothing. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him. That's why I told them, is that way. You didn't see with this with Father Abraham. You are calling yourself Abraham's children. Abraham did not do what you are doing. When Abraham saw me, he rejoiced to see my day. And if you are of Abraham, you will not want to kill me. So the spirit that is on you is the spirit of your father, the devil. Because from the beginning, that is his work. To destroy righteousness. That is his work. So that unrighteousness will prevail on the earth. That's what the devil wanted. He wanted the righteousness to be exterminated. So that righteousness will no longer be traced. So that it will only be unrighteousness on the earth. We are grateful to the Almighty God. Who created this earth for habitation of his own people. He's going to wipe up the devil and his works. We clean this place up of them. And then they will hand over to us a pure kingdom. We are sin and righteousness can no longer be traced. Oh, hallelujah. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He's a liar. You see, he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That is his nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So that who the devil is, he's seen it from the beginning. And for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy this sin and his origin, he manifested. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God. You know, John here wrote this, what he wrote, after the ascension of Jesus, after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, the Holy Ghost came. This is in the Gentile dispensation. This is during the ages that he wrote this. And that's why Jesus Christ is referred to here as the Son of God. Holy Ghost dispensation. Amen. But he came in the flesh as a prophet to destroy that work. So the work of the destruction or the destruction of the work of the devil continues in the ages through the Holy Spirit in the people of God. Works of the devil. The Son of God was manifested. Who is he? As we have referred to in the other time. That is referred to in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 and chapter 9 verse 6 to 7. A child is born, a son is given, and the kingdom shall be upon his shoulder. I love that scripture because I love all of that scripture. I love the rest of them. But this particular one is a striker. It presents Jesus Christ in every way. It shows you that this is Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. It shows that there are no Trinity. This scripture. A child is born. A son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The everlasting father. And he's a son. And he's a child. That Jesus. Except somebody is blind. That's why he will still be arguing this. Who is the everlasting father? The denomination is usually saying everlasting father. Everlasting son. Which we know there's no everlasting son. He has a beginning. He was born. The immortal Holy Ghost, be thou glorified. Now, they are singing Trinity. They are using that song to show Trinity, the Everlasting Father. That Everlasting Father is Jesus. That's it. The Bible calls him the Everlasting Father. Is that not? That is it. The Bible calls him the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. They will tell you he's not the Almighty God. You know, then what about the Everlasting Father? The Everlasting Father. The Bible doesn't repeat itself. The Mighty God, the Almighty God. Because the Everlasting Father is still the Almighty God. Mighty Almighty. That nullifies the argument about Trinity or any other thing, except somebody who is using it to talk to them does not have revelation of the scripture. If a Trinitian meets you and you understand the application of this, and you're able to table them, oh my, what are them? I'm telling you, he will tell you that at another time. I met somebody like that, that grandma Olaruti took me, you know, usually invites me to a school when she was principal. There's a man that was his assistant, he's a pastor of Deeper Life. He asked me a question about the Godhead. When I picked this scripture, and from that day, he didn't talk about Godhead anymore. When I show him, I say, Everlasting Father, Everlasting Son, the Mother of the God. That's what you will say. So who is this Everlasting Father? He said, the Almighty God that created the heaven and the heart, the that and the other and the rest of us. I said, okay, what about the Everlasting Son? Even though he has a beginning, the body, which is called the Son, is the body. The mortal Holy Ghost is the one dwelling in that body. So, oh, by the time he gave his theological explanation and the rest of things, and I said, okay, let's go to the scripture. And then we opened this place and I said, let us read. Let us just read. We began to read when we go to the Everlasting Father. I said, according to the explanation of the Everlasting Father, the Bible called this son that will be born. I said, who is this son that will be born? He said, Jesus. I said, okay, who does the Bible say he is? I said, if you talk about the Everlasting Father, who does it? He was looking at me. We are grateful to Malachi. Our eyes did not see this until we came in here. Though we have questions in our minds, but we couldn't find answers out there. They cannot answer it. Praise be to God. So is he manifested in flesh? Because that is the only way that he could deal with the devil, not as a spirit. Because the devil has introduced himself into the world through Cain. And by that, he's doing his works. That spirit is in Cain and is multiplying on the face of the earth, doing all that. So he needs to also come in the same level. Like he came when he was to face Satan up there in the level. He couldn't come as a great mighty God to come and fight him. He condescended to his angelic form. I mean, his angelic form is what he went with to fight the devil. Angel was, Satan was an angel. Then he fought him at the realm of an angel. And he hauled him out of heaven and pushed him that way. Satan has no access to heaven, but he has access to heaven, the realm of God. But he's in the heavens, operating there, controlling things. That's why he disturbed Gabriel. He hindered the prayers of Daniel for 21 days. He was battling with Gabriel. Not that he could defeat Gabriel. Gabriel was not a militant angel. He was a peaceful angel to deliver a peaceful message. He was the one that gave the message to Mary, to Elizabeth. That is why he was there until, what is the name? And Daniel kept firing in heaven. This man that is my honey, we are telling you this. There are a lot of blessings for us to learn as believers to be persistent. When you have prayed and you know that no hindrances should be on the way and there are certain hindrances that you may not be able to explain, you don't stop praying. But Proverbs gave us a joke and he said, take the adopted child. And that is praising God for answering your prayers. Lord, I thank you have answered me. I appreciate you have done it. According to your promise, you have done this. According to your promise, you have done this. According to your promise, I appreciate you. According to your word, you said you will do this for me. I believe you have done it. Because the prophet said that we must confess. He's the high priest of our confession. It is what we confess that he will plead, and then he will give to us. And so we saw. So the devil controls the. That's why the Bible talks about prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are there, and those are part of the things that the holy fire of God and the literal fire that God will use to destroy, you know, the devil and his works here. Before the first class city will come and settle here, as we have been teaching in the future hope of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. So, the devil is here, operating. So the realm that God will also come to face him is to come in the flesh as a king's man redeemer. To be able to give what it takes to get man to destroy the works of the Lord. It's God's own plan. Please present that to us again, that song 90. That song that we sang, number 90. All praise to him who reigns above, in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. His name above all names shall stand exalted more and more at God's Father's own right hand, where he just holds the door. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall. Just hold on there. Ruined. Jesus Christ was the one. In order, he was ruined by the fall to destroy the works of the devil. God's own scheme of destroying Satan's work is by way of death. It's not to preserve his life. It destroyed the power of death by death. That's what the prophet told us. That Jesus came by the way of death to destroy the power of death. To take power from the hands of the devil that has it. Ruined by the fall from the beginning, necessitated his coming because he has a people. That the devil has dominated. The devil came into the world and introduced spirits into the life of the people. Stubborn spirit, disobedient spirit. Those are the works of the devil. Unbelieving God's work. Drinking and smoking, by biting, gossiping, lying, stealing, fighting, arrogant spirit, pride, disobedience, all sorts of things that the Bible, all that the Bible talks about in the Adamic nature, all that the Bible talks about in workings and manifestations of Satan, sicknesses and affliction, everything, putting the love of the world out of the people and making them to be religious. And he gave them a different spirit to the things of God that meant so much, that should mean so much to them for their salvation. He will work on them to make them to see it very light. It won't make more meaning to them. Some other things will make more meaning to them. They will spend more time in some other things. But that of God that is good, that is so important to them, it will work in their heart to make them to feel that way. By and by, I'm going to have time for it. And I always tell people, I say, if you are saying tomorrow, for the fact that you can't control today, for the fact that today you cannot yield, you can't determine whether you will eat tomorrow. Because that means the yielding now is not in your hand. So you have to ask God to help you to yield. So if you can't yield today, you don't have assurance that you can yield tomorrow. Because you don't have it. There's no promise of that. When you hear his voice today, having not your heart, that's what the scripture says. As in the day of what? Or provocation. When they had in their hearts. Having not your heart, because you never can tell. You might cross the period of grace for your life. Your own time might come when you don't know. So that is why so the devil comes in people's life in so many ways. He give them, give them different perception of life. They see things different from the way God's word says it. And they feel comforted. They rely on their opinion, or their views about things, or by their ideas about things. It is the devil leading their life. It is the devil keeping them under captivity.
We will look at the example of two people in the scripture.
So, now, all these the devil put people under and put them in the cage. And the prophet said the devil does not release his prisoners. So that is why it's not possible for anybody to determine when he's going to give his life to Christ.
If you are postponing it.
So it's something you must consider today. It's what you must consider today. Because the scripture says, seek the Lord when he may be found. He says, call upon him when he is near. So in other words, there will be a time he will not be found. Because that's what the scripture has given, understanding that the scripture has given us. There will be a time he may not be found. And the time when you call, he will be found. Call upon him when he is near.
Seek him when
he may be found. Seek him when he may be found. In other words, before it becomes too late, when you will call, I will not listen. Because a time like that is coming.
Just before the rapture takes place. That time is going to come. And there is no human being that can determine it. By the time the living saints, the sleeping saints begin to resurrect, and then we begin to see them, it's gone. That's the end of it. Once we begin to see the resurrected, the sleeping saints resurrect, and we just see, this is a brother. This is a brother. And this one says, this is a brother. And then we are in that room. We are in that room. From that moment, he that is holy is still, let him be holy. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. He that is feeding, let him be feeding. Because there is a period of convocation before the rapture will take place. It is the sleeping saint that will resurrect before the rapture will finally take place. Because the Bible says, we shall not prevent them that are sleeping. For the sleep, for they that are sleeping, God shall rise first. And that's how it happened to Christ himself. Laid down the pattern. And we saw him, he's resurrected. He went into the city, relating with the disciples for 40 days. Where was he sleeping? That's the question somebody might ask. Where was he sleeping? Yeah, he's no longer asleep. He's in a glorified body. He appears and disappears. So the sleeping saints do the same thing. Because, and the Bible says, we don't know yet what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him when he shall appear. So is the glorified body. So the sleeping saints that will resurrect, they be the glorified body. So no places, no toilet, no this, no that, nothing. The prophet says they will travel like tops. So anyone whose grace of God has appeared to in salvation, the works of the devil in the life of that person has been destroyed. So the people that are under the devil's influence, making them to have different ideas, about the things of God, giving them distorted knowledge about God, giving them a family, an individual can denominate. You can say, this is the way we are going to run. This is the way I am going to run my family. And it's not the business of anybody. If it is contrary to God's word, you are denominated. You do what I want to run my life. I don't want anybody to talk about my family. I don't want anybody to talk about my life. This is where I'm going to run my life. And it is contrary to God's word. You have denominated. And when you denominate, you are cut off from the source of life. And that is one of the works of the devil. That just God has come to destroy. Praise to God. So he manifested in the flesh to bring redemption. And the prophet told us that he came in the flesh to give us atonement for our sins. And the prophet said, an atonement is in two parts. This atonement that is in two parts, the prophet said, is for the atonement of our sins and for the healing of our body. And the prophet gave us this emphasis that once a soul is saved, is eternally saved. The person can no longer be spiritually sick. No spiritual sickness anymore. But somebody that is healed today will still be healed of the same sickness he healed from yesterday. But spiritual healing of the soul is permanent. Is eternal. The prophet said the remaining thing is this body to be changed. This body can be sick. A man that is filled with Holy Spirit, that is the same test, can be sick in this body. Because we are still in this coat. The prophet called it hold coat. That we are going to lay down. We call it hold coat, pest house. In things that are to be. We call it pest house. That pest house. Bugs and rest of them disturb it. You feel tired here, headache tomorrow. Leg pain, another time. Back pain, the other time. Leg pain, the other time. It's a body that is to go through that because we are here. And the older we get, the more those things come into this body. But we hold the promises of God so dearly to sustain us. Praise be to God. So the devil afflicts people with different sicknesses. And that's why the prophet, the atonement is in two parts.
the salvation of our body, the healing of our body, which is also a way of destroying Satan's activity in our body. I am the Lord that healed all thy diseases. By his stripes we were healed. The enemy of a sick person is God displaying his healing power to remove the hand of the devil, to remove the activities of the devil from that body. By whatever means, is the Lord that healed. But a man that is healed physically and is not spiritually healed, that's not the best. He's a partaker of the blessing of God. But the devil still has control of the soul of that person. Still manipulating the soul of that person, though he has enjoyed the healing virtue of God. But that's not the very purpose. It's not the full purpose, rather. The full purpose is for us to partake of the redemptive blessing in terms of salvation of our soul, forgiveness of our sins, and Holy Ghost baptism, and then healing of our body. Because the atonement is in two parts. Also, that's the way it destroys the works of the devil. To break the yoke of Satan. Breaking the yoke of unbelief in the life of a man. We saw the man of Gadarene in the Bible. No, I come to a conclusion from the understanding of the scripture. Of course, is on daily basis we keep getting better understanding, getting better understanding, getting better understanding. I told somebody that said, when you see somebody that did what is wrong, don't put your mouth. Now you will understand what I'm saying here. Don't put your mouth. Because he who calls for equity must what? Come with a clean hand. He who calls for equity. If you are guilty of what you condemn others for, you are an hypocrite. Yeah. You are an hypocrite. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying in Matthew chapter, is it chapter 6 or 7? Where he says that, you hypocrite. In fact, Jesus used that word hypocrite. You leave the beam, a whole beam in your own eye, and then it's a speck that you see in your brother's eye, and you want to remove it. Jesus said, hypocrite. He said, first of all, remove the beam that's hanging on your eye before you can remove. First cast out the beam out of thine eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Now this is what I'm saying. When I see somebody has done what is wrong in the world there, we have a scripture concerning who does wrong in the midst of the brethren. That's a scripture for it.
Out there, you see people that just people that are doing what is wrong, and they say the person has done this, and they say,
many of us will remember that there was a thief who snatched, I may not be able to narrate the story very well.
He snatched a motorcycle from a particular person, stabbed the person,
and took the motorcycle and was running, and he got to Unity Junction. They wanted to stop him. So he parked the motorcycle to show that the day of his death has come. But he never knew.
That's how the devil deceived them.
When he was living, he never knew he would die that day. He just took off from the house.
With a knife in his hand, with a mission, thinking that he would get the machine, he would not surprise the machine how much they sell it, or whatever. Snatch it and go and sell it somewhere and make quick money.
But whatever his motive was, whatever, you know, was up to him. So he packed the machine and they came out. He wanted to fight the people that were shouting on him.
And that's how those people were coming. The people that rescued the person that he stabbed, they were coming.
That's what I read.
And they saw him and said, he's the one. He has stabbed somebody. He took the machine from the person.
That's a rush.
Right at the entrance of Union Junction, the prophet threw on him and set him on fire. They set him on fire. They put on social media. I quickly deleted it when I watched it. I couldn't look at it. Then I was not thinking in my mind. Then I saw those guys carrying keg of petrol pouring on him. And I was thinking, I said, this guy that is pouring petrol on him, was he more righteous than this person that is pouring petrol on him? That's what I'm saying.
Hypocrite! You see, he's a thief.
What about you? Listen closely. There is one punishment for unbelief. Unbelief in sense of lying, stealing, cheating, fighting, gossiping, backbiting, adultery, fornication, drinking, smoking, masturbating, whatever even you want to talk about. Ungodliness, loving the world and the rest of the world, is the lake of fire for every one of them. No sin is greater than another sin. You have to understand that if you are a liar and you see somebody that's a thief, keep your mouth shut. Because you have the same spirit inside of you. You have to hold your hand and say, God, have mercy upon me. Now you understand what I'm saying. In the Bible, the people arrested a woman who they caught in adultery. And when they caught him in adultery, they brought him to Jesus. With stones in their hand, they wanted to stone him. And when they got to Jesus, they said, they quoted what the law says. I said, you said you're a prophet. But yeah, we caught this woman red and dead. They did not deliver her to us. We caught her in adultery. And in the law of Moses, she's to be stoned to death. That's why you see stones in our hand. And we are ready for it. And Jesus Christ, look at them. He stood down. So he shot her and stood up. He said, okay. It is true. You caught her red and dead in adultery. The one that has no sin among you, let him be the first to cast stone at this woman. You see, if we face situation according to that scripture, remove the mold that is in your heart and the beam from your heart before you can cast the mold out of your brother's heart. Go, let have an understanding of that scripture. These people, Jesus told them that any of you that has no sin, let him be the first to cast stone at this woman. And he stood down there, was writing on the ground. Jesus didn't say more than that. The law penetrated into the heart of every one of them. They explained their lives. Thank God they were sincere. They explained their lives. At the end of the day, the first one threw away the stone. Because he saw that he was no without sin. And he was not qualified to stone that woman. So they were in the same category. He was also a sinner. He knew that if he stoned the woman, he would be judging himself. Perhaps they remember when he did evil, they did not see him. Maybe they would have caught him and stoned him to death too. So he remember, he left. The other one, to conscience pick him, he looked at his own life, he saw that he was also guilty of sin. Hey! He didn't tell anybody. He dropped his stone, come back, and went away. The other one, he thought of his life. Hey! I don't qualify to stone this person. I've been sinner also. He threw the stone down, turn back. It was not Jesus that was turning them, it was the word. The word is through their heart and they saw it. You know, like I always say, until God shows you your sin, the way he sees it, you will be rejoicing in sin. You will think you are right. But the day God can help you to see your sin the way he sees it, that day you will repent or perish. According to Psalm, faith is the victory. Faith is our victory. That reference is there. Until you see your sin the way God sees it, is it that you repent or perish? God has given unto us the way to be delivered. Many people don't have deliverance today because they are hypocritical. And the devil brings hypocrisy into the life of the people. To keep them in bondage. And it's one of the works of the devil. And that's what those guys are come to destroy. He came to destroy. In other words, to exterminate. To exterminate. It's different from to eliminate. Exterminate means from the root. Go get it up. And that is why God has a plan. After he shed his blood and he sent his spirit upon his people with fire to destroy the Adamic nature in the life of the Christian. No hypocrisy. No righteousness. No nothing. He now enthrones in the heart of that man, and the life of that man witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. If he's sick, the healing is available for him. He takes from the bread, he heals it. Healing is to the bread. He takes it and he heals it. As much as God will give him faith. He may not have as much faith as an unbeliever. Are you with me? In claiming healing. But he said, it's God that gives that faith to the believer. He's the one that gives the faith to those who are who faith. The grace of God when it comes to exercise of faith differs with individual. And it depends on the way God, the way God gives you faith. The problem is you cannot have faith except God gives you faith. And so when we know that, then we go to God in prayer. Give us faith. So Jesus is he appeared. We are talking about the Christmas. He was born. The essence of his body, what we are emphasizing, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In every realm, not partly, not to patch up a life and clean a life halfway and then leave some other things out of that life. No! It's a total deliverance that he wrought in the life of his people. And the prophet emphasizes to us in the sermon, Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Heavenly Bride, how he does it. If he's not going to allow the first person to come here until he has cleaned his heart of the devils and all the works of men, and he remains nothing but God, that's the same thing. The prophet says the same thing he does to the believer. It takes from your life the trace of the devil. Any works of the devil, he comes to destroy it. That's the purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was born for that purpose. Many people that are celebrating Christmas, and you know, they're drinking. They're most of them are in females. Most of them are in prostitute houses. Some of them will drink themselves to stupor today. Some of them, we have to carry him from that place where he has done to carry him home. He will not be able to, he will open his eyes, he will not be able to see anything. He will stand up, he will fall down. Because wine has damaged his system. Do you know what's in about wine? It intoxicates. Now that intoxication is like if we have doctors, medical doctors here, I will have asked them a question. You know, well, sorry, using the word imbecile, you know, people, the imbecile, you know the way they walk. They are because of their spinal cord. You know, they walk, they can't control the movement of their body. You know, they walk, you know, the way they walk.
And that's how a drunken man walks. That's how he walks. Now, something has happened to his brain. Now, the brain controls the working of the system, isn't it? We know that in biology. Impulse from the brain. The brain will give message to your body. Carry your leg like this. But when you now carry it and the leg is not standing, can it go to you?
We just look.
It's not an imbecile. Wine has turned him to something else. And yet they see that that is the way they do, but because they are under the bondage of that thing, they keep drinking it. And there are some that will drink it, it will not appear, they will still be okay. That's also demon.
You man, me turn. So bad in be money, you be alawe.
But all those are afflictions of Satan. Our little children, lying, stealing, gossiping, talking about your classmates, your friends, to your another one, and the rest of it. They are workings of devils. It starts from little children. That backbiting spirit, gossiping, and the rest of it. Start from children. Because it's a nature. And that you must ask God to deliver you today. As we are here. Because that's the reason Jesus Christ manifested. You lie, you steal, you cheat. You take things that are not your own in the house. That goes to the adults too.
Everybody. It goes to all of us.
Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil's work. That is our understanding. He has not come to give us a ceremony.
You must look at your life. Every, that's why the prophet said that every Easter, the Christian celebrates Easter not once in a year.
That the Christian celebrate become victory of Christ in the life of that man on a daily basis.
It's not what he witnessed once in a year. And if it's what he witnessed once in a year, they're not better than the Muslims. It's only when they fast they receive forgiveness of their sins.
And it's, there's no promise to be forgiven in the Bible when you go and fast.
Forgiveness and remission of sins are preached in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So there is no other thing any man can do to get forgiveness for his sins. They are just deceived by the devil, put in that bondage.
So, and there are different religions in the world that the devil has put in to keep them in that bondage and satisfy them in there.
But Jesus Christ, the purpose of his coming is that he might destroy
the works of the devil.
And he works of the devil in so many ways.
It's just a little of it that we can talk about. But as relates to our spiritual life and our well-being, we must understand that Jesus Christ has come to destroy Satan's works.
In my life, in my wife's life, in my children's life, in my family, in the household of faith, in the life of every brother, life of every sister.
That's what he has come to do.
The devil will deceive people to make them to think that they are right when they are not right.
The prophet said there are two things the devil does. He said he will make you to feel that you are received the Holy Ghost when you are not. He will make you to say that feel with the Holy Spirit. But the best thing to do is to look at what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Then you come to that conclusion. Because to conclude that I have the Holy Spirit, I must have looked at certain things. And what I'm to look at should not be my idea, should not be my opinion, should not be anything that is, you know, that is placed upon sinking sand. It should be on the eternal rock of ages, the world unmovable, the unchanging world.
What God has said, Malachi 4 ages has said about the man that is filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is the major part
of the destruction of the work of the devil.
When a man's nature is changed perpetually by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The man can be sick, it doesn't make any difference, his soul is free from the hand of the devil.
And that's why Jesus Christ said, he said the prince of this world came and he found nothing in me. Every one of us must be able to stand and say that.
Because the works of the devil, his activities, his manipulations must be destroyed from our lives.
The devil must not be able to manipulate my life. He must not be able to manipulate your life. I'm talking spiritually.
Your life must be free from his activities, from his influences.
You must be completely delivered and set free from Satan's activities.
May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads. His word is yea and amen. We find it yea and amen. I want us to commit ourselves to the Lord this morning. Searching your life. Nobody's going to do the searching for you. Just like Jesus Christ told those who quarry stones in their hands, they wanted to stone that woman. Jesus Christ said, if you have no sin, be the first to cast a stone. I put that question to us this morning. They were able to search their lives. Thank God they were sincere. They were able to search their lives. They looked down deep into their lives. They didn't hang with Jesus.
When they found their lives unworthy, that they were not qualified to stone that woman,
they threw away the stones in their hands and went their way. Brother, sister, the privilege is before us this morning. Search your life. Don't let the devil manipulate your life by putting it into sleep at this moment. Don't let the devil manipulate your life by feeling that you are okay. Money, the devil can use money to manipulate a man's life and make a man to become lukewarm, self-dependent. Money is a snare to those who have it, and it's a snare as well to those who don't have it. Manipulating your life? Are you conscious of it? Are you aware of it? Do you understand that the very purpose why Jesus Christ manifested in the flesh is to destroy the works of the devil in your life? If the devil's works are not destroyed, you can never be a witness for Jesus Christ. Our young sisters and young brothers, our old brothers, no sisters, we have come this way, we have come this long way. On what ground are you standing to say that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Are the works of the devil destroyed from your life, spiritually speaking? Are you full of your ideas and your opinion? The way things should be done in the light of God's word, that's not the way you want it. You have your personal understanding of things. You are under Satan's manipulations. For this purpose, to rip sin out of our lives, for the devil sinned from the beginning, and for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That's our Christmas. If you go down deep into your life and you are sincere, you can be helped of the Lord. But if you are not sincere with yourself, it is up to you. God can only help those who cannot help themselves. God is the helper of the helpless. He doesn't force anybody. And that is why he says, I'm the president in time of trouble. I am the president in time of trouble. I'm the helper of the helpless. No wonder the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Do you need his help spiritually? Is the help of the helpless. Is the help of the helpless. In fact, that is why he came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The area of your life where you need his help, where you need the works of the devil to be destroyed. That's the reason why he came. That's why he told them, he said, the Son of Man did not come to come and eat and drink. He said, but to serve, not to be served. He came to lay down his life for the souls of his own children. Because that's the only way the works of the devil can be destroyed. He planned that. Now put a wound on the eyes of the devil. For the Bible says that the prince of the world have, they have known that that was the king of glory. That was him. They will not have crucified him. But he came in a way that will beat them hands down. Came in the flesh. And find his way straight from that down into the heart of his sons and daughters, where he dislodged the enemy and take his possession. You are here this morning. Jesus Christ is in the business of destroying the works of the devil. He's here. Then you have to identify the dark work of the devil in your life or the works of the devil in your life. that you want the Lord to put an end to. You want the Lord to exterminate in your life. Your own idea of being can keep you in a certain state. Now can make me to that rob you of godliness, both spiritually and physically. Are you under the affliction of the devil in form of sickness? Is the works of the devil? He is here to destroy. He's always ready. He comes into our midst and cannot look at him. Not as an onlooker, but to give to everyone according to the size of their heart. Where two or three are gathered in his name, is there in their midst to destroy the works of the devil. Anywhere he went, he was doing his good. The mighty healer, he the lepers, when the cripples saw him, they started walking. He moved to the end. Our Lord is doing good. He's still doing his good. He's still doing his good. It is his work. Did there be anyone here? You want the works of the devil to be destroyed in your life. You want complete and total deliverance from Satan's manipulation. You want God to deliver you from unbelief. Unbelief in God's works. That is the only sin there is. The prophet said, sin is, lying is not sin. Cheating is not sin. Fornication is not sin. Adultery is not sin. Drinking is not sin. Is that they are the attribute of unbelief? The prophet said, if a man believes, he will not do that. We are in divine presence. As many as are in need of God's help at this time, to stretch his hand, to stretch out his hand, to remove the devil from your life, to destroy his work from your life. Will you raise your hand? Well, I invite someone of God to pray for us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we bring our thanksgiving unto you for your mercy upon us. Lord, come to address us in this little humble garden. We want to thank you very much for revealing unto us in our generation the truth of Christmas. Lord, we were born into error, and we grew up in error, being taught and established in lies. Whereas your own time you came and you revealed unto us the truth, as the word has said that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. By your grace, we have known the truth. O God, that surround your birth, that surround your ministry, that surround your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And we are grateful to you. Lord, this is just a time that the government of the world have set, Lord, for celebration, having inherited from, Lord, the Roman Catholic people, the error that is passed on through the ages. We are grateful to you that we will spend the time in your presence. Thank you for your word that has gone forth, Lord, telling us about the purpose of your first coming. Lord, we thank you very much because that purpose is not defeated in our lives. Lord, you came to your own. Lord, part of the scripture that was read was that you will save your own people from their sins. By your grace, we know that we are your people. We are your children. That's why you came. That's why you despised the shame. That's why you endured the suffering and the agonious death that you went through is for our sake, because you had us in mind. If you did not surrender yourself, oh God, we would have been lost. But because of us, because your prophet says that we will be incomplete without you, Lord, that is why you have to pay that supreme price. And we are here as your soldiers and Lord, trophies of that death, burial, and resurrection. We are grateful to you. Your word has gone forth, Lord, this morning, addressing our need, moving in different directions. Lord, stressing this point that you were made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And you are still doing that work up to now. And you will do it until you do it for the last time. Lord Jesus, we thank you very much, O God, because we are your children, because we are your sheep, and we have had your voice, and your voice have impact in our life. We bless your holy name. Your children, Lord, some are at the altar. O God, no doubt, it's not a place of form, it's not a place of showmanship. It's a place where requests are pleaded. It's a place where, O God, Lord, heart desires are placed. And we have it in the scripture that there were those that made that attempt who attended unto them, as we have that of honor. These are the altar, O Jehovah God, may you address them in the Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, most of the hands of your children are up everywhere. Lord, signify one name or the other. And you have told us in your word, O God, that the two of us shall agree as touching anything that we shall ask, it shall be granted unto us by the Father that is in heaven. Lord, all believers here, we are in agreement together that the request of your sons and daughters here be granted to the glory and the honor of your name. Let it be their Father that you grant every request, meet every need, solve every problem, dissolve every doubt, demolish every works of the devil. All sicknesses may they disappear from the body of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Where sin is having preeminence, may you destroy his works, Heavenly Father. May you touch the souls of your sons and daughters, Lord. Bring them to life in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them permanent victory that will glorify your name. Let it be, Heavenly Father. May this word never be in vain in the life of any of your children. May the Holy Spirit work tight with the angel of your forage of, O God. May it come to testimony to the glory and the honor of your name. May this year, O God, memorial of Christmas be a special time in every life, in every family, in the local assemblies, to the glory and the honor of your name. Thank you, Eternal Father. We bless your holy name. Your servant, you have made yourself virtuous as left hand. We pray you will bless him. We call him little the honor of his ministry and that of the rest of your servants. Lord, continue to make use of him as channels of blessing to your people. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, we are so grateful and we are so thankful. Even those who are not present here physically, and Lord, wherever they are listening in, whatever problem, whatever need that they have, Lord, may the pillar of fire visit them, their Lord. May you be their Father. May you grant their desires, Lord. May they have a testimony that will follow this to the glory of your name. Thank you, gracious Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. When we dismiss, Lord, we have, Lord, a couple of people to baptize. We pray, O God, as we pour them in water, may the spirit of life come into their soul and give them a new life. Lord, may they have a new beginning in their life. Lord, when we go down, O God, they will go back to their homes, far and near. May the angel of the Lord take them from home safely. Give us a wonderful time of holiday. May there be no mishap that will happen to anyone, Lord. We pray, O Lord, that you watch over both the little children, the adolescents, the adults, and the aged. Watch over everyone, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. When we'll be back here again on Sunday, restore our lives, oh Father, may you bring us back love of more of your blessings, Lord. Your servant has a relationship with you, with him, Lord. The rest of them that have traveled, your servant and the rest of your brother that have traveled, may you watch over them. Those that went to conventions, may you bless them, their Father. When each of them will be turning back, may you bring them back safely. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. For hearing and granting this petition, because we have asked it all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm quite aware that this Friday is last Friday of the month, but that same service we are also having it New Year Eve, which is just a couple days away. So we will not have the breaking of bread this Friday, but rather listen to it. God bless you. And we want to thank the people that sent some gifts across to the ministers. The Lord bless you richly. And replenish your purses where you have taken the money whenever on dry. God bless you.